time. Bye-bye.
A very warm welcome to another edition of Czech Books. And for the programme today, I'm joined by two writers. That's Milan Kocourek and Zuzana Sloborová. And the book we're going to be talking about is called Česko-Slovenská Británie, or Czech and Slovak Britain. And it's a fascinating book that profiles 22 Czechs and Slovaks who live in Britain or have some connection with Britain, and interestingly also another 10 British people who have in some way a close link with the Czech or Slovak nations. I'd be fascinated to know how this book came about. Zuzana.
Well, one day, it was about 2.5 years ago, Milan and I were talking on the telephone. Milan just said that he would be interested to write a book about all the famous Czechs and Slovaks who feature in Britain and who people know nothing about.
And so, Milan, it was your idea?
Well, I suppose so, but I must say that by that time, when we thought it would be a good idea, Zuzanka has already published several essays in the Journal of British Czechoslovak Association. So it was really effort of both of us, and we then decided who will be in and who will not be in.
So how did you choose the people that you decided to profile?
We started thinking of prominent members of Czechoslovak Society of Arts and Sciences to start with, because that society, which has home in America since 1960s, I believe, has in its midst, in Britain, very important characters. Professor Krejci and Karel Brušák, Ivan Jelínek, quite a few people who were very prominent, either poets, journalists or scientists. So we started there.
In a way, if you hadn't written the book, you could both have been in it as well yourselves, couldn't you? Because you're a Czech and a Slovak, both living for a long time in Britain. What about your own links with Britain and your own, let's say, since you've been in Britain, your own links with your homeland? Milan.
Of course, as far as Britain goes, it's my second home, and it was a basic idea that there will be people in the book who are settled in Britain rather than occasional visitors or guests or sportsmen and women. They were stories, meant to be stories, of people who actually had something important to say about their countrymen, about freedom, for instance, soldiers who were fighting during the war, like General Kašpar is one of them, and another is General Hartmann. They were people actually to whom we are in debt a lot, and I wanted to write about those mainly, those who actually have gone through something.
Well, tell me a little bit about your own story, though. How long have you been living in Britain, and how did you come to be there?
I came in 69, and it was 1 year after the Soviet invasion, so you can say that if there was no Soviet invasion, I would not be in Britain today. But I came there with my girlfriend, then we got married, so we settled there, and we have a daughter, and we are in Britain, and we hope to come back for retirement, my wife and I, not necessarily our daughter. We chose it as our second home.
And Zuzana, how about you?
I came in 1968. I came as a student to work for Butlin's holiday camp. And then the Russians invaded. And because Britain behaved to us so well, I was at university within 2 months and somehow never looked back.
You both left Czechoslovakia involuntarily. You didn't want to leave. It was your home. Is that why this Czech-Slovak-British link has always remained so important for you, that you felt it was essential to keep this link alive?
I think it's impossible, if you come to Britain as a foreigner, to become anything else. And I think if people like us, Czech and Slovaks, came to Britain and started to pretend they were real Brits or real English people, your identity is your identity. And if you don't keep it, actually your personality falls apart. I think that's something which is inescapable.
And so tell me a little bit more about the stories that are told in this book. You chose various people, 32 people to talk to. Did you just get them to tell their stories, or did you Do you tell their stories, or do you choose some fragment from their lives which is interesting? How did you go about it?
I took my idea of those essays as summarizing lives of people who actually were in Britain, either of their own volition, but definitely as those who were fighting for their own ideals in one way or another, including political refugees, of course. So I had this political idea in my mind when I was writing them.
We haven't mentioned many of the people who feature in this book, so could you tell us about maybe some of your favourites?
Well, first I mention a very sad story. It's Mrs. Marianne Schlingova. She was a young British intellectual who, during the war, met a young Czech called Ota Schling, whom she then married and went with him to Czechoslovakia to build socialism, because she was an enthusiastic communist at that time. Ota Schling became a very important political figure within the Communist Party, and he was a person who was then accused of treachery and executed during the Stalinist trials in early 50s. His wife, an English woman, was put to prison. She was kept in solitary confinement for about 2 years. Their children went to children's home. After Ota Schling was executed, they all went to internal exile. They were forced to go to an internal exile within Czechoslovakia. And now she lives in England. She's more than 90. She still loves Czechoslovakia. She is not embittered. And it's quite an extraordinary story. And what I put in the book is also an extract from her own book about all those days in the 50s.
Milan, how about you?
I must come back to Zuzanka's work, because I think most important of all, and also most vital in terms of new information, is her work on Karel Brušák. Karel Brušák, who was our colleague in BBC, World Service, in Czech section, who was a poet, who was a journalist and scientist at the same time. He was a bohemist who actually brought up several generations of students in Cambridge. He was teaching Czech, Slovak, Old Slavonic there. And he was a very important man, but he never liked talking about himself. And Zuzana wrote one of the best essays I've read on him. I think it is the best.
Well, there is one thing which I want to say now again. I'm going to Milan's work. He has got a chapter on something quite different. It's the latest wave of immigration, and it is about Roma who were coming to England between 1997 and 2004. And Milan has got a feature on a Roma activist called Ladislav Balázs, the story which brought him to England and then how he lived in England. And that's something, again, which is not documented. People don't know about these things. They don't know. They sometimes don't even want to know about it. And I'm so glad that it is in the book.
And could you tell us a little bit about his story? It sounds interesting.
Ladislav Balázs is a gentleman who today lives in Britain. When his friend, called Laco, I think Milan Laco, was murdered by hooligans near Ostrava, he actually protested publicly in the Czech media against the way his murder, Laco's murder, was investigated. And he even formed a group to defend Roma people in locality there. And he started an organization defending Roma people. What happened with him was that Czech fascists, or neo-fascists, I should say, once he started talking about the murder of Laco and his criticism of the way it was investigated by Ostrava authorities, he got a letter from a neo-fascist movement saying, "We know where your children go to school. If Hitler survived till this day or after the war, your problem would not be there, because we don't like black Roma people." And it was anonymous fascist, neo-fascist letter, which made him think, because he was not so concerned about his own safety, but about his children, of course. He contacted by telephone somebody in Hungary, who told him that they can help him to get to Britain, because he should go. And he actually left Czech Republic out of fear of neo-fascists.
Under communism, the position of Czechs and Slovaks living in Britain was very different. They were kind of bastions of non-communist culture, political culture, culture, scientific, and at very many different levels. How has that changed now since the fall of communism? Obviously now borders are open, we're all in the European Union. Is there still something special or different, you think, in the position of the emigre or exile community in Britain?
Now there is a new community of Czechs and Slovaks who live in Britain, because after the borders were open and after 2004, thousands and thousands of Czechs and Slovaks came to Britain seeking jobs and life. And there are new stories coming out, and some of them are really heartbreaking.
And there people could be, who came with great hopes and who are disappointed.
Well, people who came with perhaps just the hope of a job and now live homeless on the streets of London, who have nothing to eat, who have to steal in order to get their next meal, who think that without the knowledge of the language and of having qualifications which are really recognized in Britain, they can find gold on the streets of London. And we could write perhaps not one, but two or three of books full of stories of all these people. So this is not something which is static, something which disappeared with communism. This is a new situation. This is a situation which goes on and on.
And finally, to conclude, the book, as I said, is called Česko-Slovenská Británia, or Czech and Slovak Britain, by Milan Kocourek and Zuzana Slobodová, who have been my guests today. It was published this year, 2006, by the publishing house Carpio, that's Carpio, here in the Czech Republic, in fact not in Prague, but in the town which is famous for its fish, Třeboň. And unfortunately, I gather that the book isn't going to come out in English, which is a shame, I think, because it would be fascinating if an English version could come out. I would certainly be very interested in reading it, but I gather that's not going to happen.
Who would give? If somebody wants to sponsor us, and if somebody says, yes, there is a readership, there are plenty of English people who would like to read it, yeah, why not?
So thank you very much indeed to both of you for joining me, and I hope that we'll meet again in the studio before too long. If you'd like to comment on this program or find out more about this book or others that we featured in Czech Books, you can contact us at english@radio.cz on the internet, or you can write to us to Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. But for the time being, from me, David Vaughan, and all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.